Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
President Trump referred to the coronavirus as the, quote, Kung Flu. Man, just when you thought he couldn't get any worse, why did you think that?
Recorded from locations that are not 30 Rockefeller Plaza, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with Judd Apatow, director and co-writer of the new film, The King of Staten Island. But first, a closer look.
It's time for a closer look. In this moment, protesters across the country are demanding an end to institutional racism and police brutality. The coronavirus pandemic is spiking in more than 20 states. Our election infrastructure is falling apart, and millions of Americans are camping out for hours just to file for unemployment amid a historic economic crisis. I mean, look at this. This is insane. Normally, you only see people camped out on the sidewalk like this when there's a new iPhone or Harry Styles is hosting SNL, an episode, by the way, that I couldn't get tickets to, which is crazy because I had a bit of a run there. This is truly... truly barbaric. If you're a billion-dollar corporation, you can just call up the government, get a loan you don't even need. But if you lose your job, thanks to a pandemic the government failed to stop, you have to line up in the heat for hours like you're waiting for a porta-potty at Ozfest. And as Ozzy himself would say, our country is going off the rails on a crazy train. Yes. Anyway, I just hope it's not too late to learn how to love and forget how to hate. That was for older brothers born between, what, 63 and 71? The point is, we're in a moment of acute national crisis, thanks in large part to the malign negligence of this taxidermied business husk. Wow. How'd the sales trip go, Willy Loman? I hope Biff didn't wander in on you and a strange woman. That would send him in a long tailspin. What happened to you? You look like you just coached the Knicks to a 50-point loss. You should be standing next to Jack Lemmon begging for the Glengarry leads. We should never have to see the president in such a pathetic state. It's embarrassing. The president... supposed to project confidence and strength. Trump, on the other hand, looks like a drunk wedding guest shuffling back to the Marriott.
Or was it a Hyatt?
This is like when you stay up past your bedtime and catch a glimpse of your dad coming home late from work totally plastered. Somehow, this is the perfect image to sum up the Trump presidency. Now we just have to change the presidential seal to a drunk eagle snoozing in a barca lounger with a beer in one hand and a remote control in the other. And I know, you know, eagles' hands are called claws. I made a mistake, but it's tempting. Or maybe they're called talons. Oh, I should have looked this up. But as tempting as it may be to think that Trump somehow created all the problems our country is facing, he did not. He certainly made them worse and in many cases profited from them. But the structural inequities and institutional failures we're seeing right now long predated him. They were created in part by guys like Johnny Bolton over here, the ex-national security advisor who refused to testify in Trump's impeachment and is now hawking a book called Mustache Rides Again. Oh, wait, I think it's called The Trash Behind the Stash. No, wait, you know what, guys? I think it's called Bolton Bolton's Butt Ton of Bulldung. Anyway, you can find it on Amazon under the Please Light Your Money on Fire Instead section. John Bolton is an unrepentant warmonger who has helped usher in some of the worst calamities of the last two decades and who epitomizes our era of venal, self-serving sociopaths burning everything down and then cashing in as they slink away. But other than that, he's a great guy. Last night, Bolton was on ABC trying to sell his book about his time in the Trump White House. Trump, a man, let's not forget, he voted for and then lobbied to get a job with.
I don't think he's fit for office. I don't think he has the competence to carry out the job.
You supported Donald Trump during the 2016 election. You watched his first 15 months in office. What did you think of the job he was doing up to that point?
I think I made a mistake.
No, I don't think he did. I don't think he made a mistake. I think you're a remora. You know those little fish that swim alongside sharks and eat whatever they miss? That's what all these Trump White House supporting cast members are. And then when their bellies are full, they swim out of the White House and write a book called Damn, That Shark Was Crazy. I think I made a mistake is not how you talk about enthusiastically supporting and working for a racist authoritarian who's trampling our democracy for his own self-interest. That's what you say when you get the Domino's order and realize it has peppers instead of pepperoni. Oh, damn it. I think I made a mistake. I meant to get pizza, but instead I ordered Domino's. Bolton didn't make a mistake. He saw Trump in 2016 and throughout the first half of his presidency promising to rip up the Iran deal and to kill the families of terrorists and banning of Muslims, and he thought he could use Trump to get what he wanted. It only backfired when he realized Trump's like a tiger in a circus act. He starts out friendly, but one wrong move and he will lunge for your face. People like Bolton are a big part of the reason we're in this mess in the first place. And on top of that, the structural inequities in our sham democracy ensure that a party with a disastrous 20-year record of governance over the course of two historically awful presidents can keep winning elections. They don't need to be popular if voter suppression and an antiquated electoral college system can keep them in power. And sure enough, the Trump team is already sending signals that they plan to interfere with the actual administration of the election. This weekend, for example, the Attorney General Bill Barr repeated a series of obvious lies about mail-in voting, which many state officials, including Republicans, have turned to as a safe alternative during the pandemic. Barr claimed falsely that mail-in ballots somehow opened the floodgates to fraud.
Well, there's a big discussion right now about mail-in voting. Hillary Clinton said it's fine, it's fair.
Well, it absolutely opens the floodgates to fraud. Those things are delivered into mailboxes. They can be taken out. There's questions about whether or not it even denies a secret ballot because a lot of the states have you signing the outside of the envelope. So the person who opens the envelope will know how people voted. There's no, right now, a foreign country could print up tens of thousands of counterfeit ballots and be very hard for us to detect which was the right and which was the wrong ballot. So I think it can upset and undercut the confidence in the integrity of our elections.
You know what upsets confidence in the integrity of our elections? People having to stand in line to vote like they're waiting to take pictures with a mall Santa on December 23rd. Of course, if Bill Barr was in charge, they'd have to line up on August 8th. Second, none of what you said is true. You can't just print up fake mail ballots and send them in. You know they still check to make sure they're from registered voters, right? It's not like you can just write on a piece of paper, I vote for Joe Exotic, and send it to the Board of Elections. Although, honestly, at this rate, I'm desperate enough to try it. Hey, I think he's learned his lesson. I saw some real growth from Joe. And then this morning, Trump himself tweeted, because of mail-in ballots, 2020 will be the most rigged election in our nation's history. They're trying to cheat by disrupting the actual administration of the election, and that's because they're so worried that if voters get to vote fairly, he won't win. Donald Trump is now and has always been a historically unpopular president. He's just been able to mask his unpopularity and soothe his ego with large crowds at his mosh pit slash group therapy sessions, which is why his rally in Tulsa on Saturday, his first in months, was planned as a big show of political strength. Never mind the fact that Tulsa is a coronavirus hotspot with spiking numbers that have alarmed local health officials. Trump disregarded that just to make himself feel better. Beforehand, Trump aides told CNN that the rally wasn't just about politics. It was about something far more important, giving Trump the adulation he craves and re-energizing him after weeks spent wallowing in sagging poll numbers and critical media coverage. I guarantee you, after Saturday, if everything goes well, he's going to be in a much better mood. You know what else is good for that? Prozac. You just slip some into his hamburger. You know, the way you give pills to a dog. Or slap a label on the bottle that says hydroxychloroquine. This stuff cures everything. Think about that. The president held an indoor rally at a coronavirus hotspot, putting people's lives at risk just to make himself feel better. Can't we just get that truck back to the White House lawn and let him honk the horn a few times? Do you feel better, Mr. President?
I am feeling a little bit better.
At this rate, he should be doing his rallies on a fainting couch while a doctor takes notes. Still, there you go. The president's aide said Saturday's rally would put him in a much better mood. And clearly, Trump was looking forward to it because he spent all week bragging about the number of people who had RSVP'd.
They have a pretty new, magnificent arena, As you probably have heard, and we're getting exact numbers out, but we're either close to or over 1 million people wanting to go. We have a 22,000-seat arena, but I think we're going to also take the convention hall next door, and that's going to hold 40,000. So we'll have 22,000 plus 40,000, which would mean that we'll have over 900,000 people that won't be able to go, but hopefully they'll be watching. But it's an amazing, nobody's ever heard of numbers like this.
You got to love how Trump thinks a success is a situation in which 90% of his supporters get screwed.
So we have a baked potato bar, the fixings for everyone who doesn't get in. Just the two potatoes, though, so you don't show up early.
Nobody's ever heard numbers like this. You know what number of people have heard? 6,200, the actual number of people who showed up, according to the fire marshal. And that fire marshal is probably the only person in Tulsa who had a good night. He was like, oh, this is great. If there's a fire, we can get everybody out of here in like 30 seconds. Trump's team kept ramping up expectations. His campaign manager, Brad Parscale, bragged that a million people had RSVP'd and that they'd have a total of close to 100,000. You guys sure you want to call your shot like that? You're like a basketball player giving a pregame press conference about how many points he scored. I just want to thank God and my teammates for supporting me. It wasn't easy to score 50 in a game, but I did it. All right, I'm going to go warm up. Achilles is pretty tight. Although my favorite Trump prediction has to be this one.
And we expect to have, it's like a record-setting crowd. We've never had an empty seat, and we certainly won't in Oklahoma.
We certainly won't have an empty seat in Oklahoma. It's too perfect. This is like if Babe Ruth had pointed to center field and then stepped into the box and fouled one off his ankle. Oh, oh no, I think I broke it. Oh, can you edit out? Oh, can you edit out the part where I pointed? We're live. Oh, so the president banked not only his political comeback, but his mood on a big show for us in Tulsa. And then, this happened.
President Trump's first campaign rally in more than 100 days drew controversy and a smaller than expected crowd. The upper decks of the arena there in Tulsa, Oklahoma were largely empty.
There were plenty of empty seats in the 19,000 capacity BOK Center.
But in the end, the president was a bit of a bust in Tulsa. Campaign quickly dismantling one venue, that other venue, about one third full. Tulsa's fire department saying about 6,200 people showed up in an arena that held 19,000 for the president.
Wow, I've seen less empty seats in an improv show. And let's be honest, Trump's rallies are basically an improv show where he gives himself his own suggestion.
Could I have the name of a famous person? I heard Hillary.
The arena wasn't even one third full. Trump staked his political fortunes and his ego in this rally, and it was such a flop, they even had to cancel a planned second speech to what they thought would be an overflow crowd outside before Trump had landed. Crews were literally breaking down the stage because so few people were there. Wow, he's the president of the United States, and they're treating him like the least popular band at Coachella. Sorry, bro, I guess everybody went over to see Beyonce. You can keep the lanyards if you want. What kind of music do you guys do? Rage rap. And Trump's performance was just as lackluster as attendance. You'd think at a moment like this, the president might want to offer soothing words about the state of the nation and the various crises we face. Instead, Trump spent one of every 8 minutes in Tulsa complaining about coverage of his West Point speech. Specifically, he complained about the coverage of the way he tiptoed down a ramp like a toddler on ice skates and the way he drank water.
So then my wife said, well, it wasn't only the ramp. Did you have water? So what happens is I said, what does it have to do with water? They said, you couldn't lift your hand up to your mouth with water. She said, well, I know what you did. You had on a very good red tie, and I don't want to get water on the tie, and I don't want to drink much. So I lifted up the water. I see we have a little glass of water. Where the hell did this water come from? So I put it up to my lip, and then I say, because I don't want it, just in case. And they gave me another disease. They gave me another disease.
Seriously, has a president's base ever set a lower bar? Woo! That arm works! That arm works! The crowd cheered. The president drinking water with one hand the way NASA cheered when they landed a rover on Mars. That's not supposed to be impressive. Good news, drinking water with one hand is something a doctor would say to you about a loved one who was recently hit on the head by a falling can of paint. He's regained motor function in his right arm. Unfortunately, he is he's still having trouble with the ramp. Although the biggest lie in that story might be the idea that he had a conversation with his wife. And even if he did, what a horrible conversation. Her first question to you was, did you have water? It's not a question you asked a president or a loved one. That's a question you ask a sick cat. The president staked his political fortunes on a rally that turned out to be a dud amid a series of mounting crises that have deflated his already historically bad poll numbers. It's a reminder that this president is deeply unpopular, and his only hope of getting reelected is by scaring people and undermining the integrity of the election itself. And when he and his campaign look back on their decision to brag so much about this rally in advance, I bet they'll say to themselves,
I think I made a mistake.
This has been A Closer Look.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, 15% off your first order with code WONDERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Our guest is a writer, director, and producer you know from his work on Trainwreck, Knocked Up, and The 40-Year-Old Virgin, as well as Girls and Freaks and Geeks. His new film, The King of Staten Island, is available on demand now. Here's my conversation with our friend, Judd Apatow.
Judd, it's great to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've been home for over 3 months, and yep. This is the result.
It's love. It's beautiful. You're in bloom. You're in full bloom.
Do you know that I did my own makeup today?
You know. Get out of here.
This is, you know what? I always have these makeup people. I can do it myself, which is basically Irish Spring. I use Irish Spring.
Yeah.
And then this is it. I don't even have beard oil in.
How do the three women that you live with feel about your look right now?
They feel the same way you feel, that it looks great, that we're glad that we found this.
A lot of support.
No, they're so annoyed because they think it's too big and they're mad I won't trim it, but I'm going kind of for a Benjamin Harrison look.
Yes.
And they're mad at me because I keep saying, well, then I'm going to shave it all off. And they're like, no, we don't want to see your face. You know, they want a little beard, but they hate my face. And I try to remind them, it's your face. Like my face looks kind of like your face. You can't hate it that much.
No, of course not. That's very fair. Although it's not really their fault, but it's a fair assessment. So the movie's great. And I want to talk because I feel like you always do such an incredible job with casting, especially casting that people wouldn't expect. I mean, obviously, Marissa Tomei is so great in this movie, Steve Buscemi. You know, Pete is so much fun to watch. Bill Burr is fantastic. But maybe Action Bronson steals the movie?
People aren't really talking yet enough about that. Action Bronson has a key role in the movie. You know, we needed a strange neighborhood figure. I don't want to give away what happens in the sequence. And Action Bronson was the only one who was hysterically funny. And also Machine Gun Kelly is in the movie as well as a mean tattoo shop owner. So, you know, I love having cameos like RZA is in Funny People. And Ghostface Killah is in Walk Hard, and Method Man is in Trainwreck. So I'm just working through the whole Wu-Tang Clan. It's my tribute to Staten Island over a career.
That's very nice of you to do. We had Pete on, and he talked about, you know, writing a first draft of this movie. I imagine, like, for somebody like him who's playing the lead in a film that is also, you know, to some degree pulled from his own life, did he have anxiety in the early days of shooting?
You know, he got very nervous right before we started shooting. So he, you know, we were having fun writing for you know, a couple of years, and then the night before shooting started, I just started getting these emails from him, and he was sending me the IMDb resumes of actors he thought should be better than him. And he's like, can I not go to work tomorrow? What about Emil Hirsch? You know, what about Cole Sprouse? And all these resumes keep popping up. And I'm at home laughing, thinking, oh, he's hysterical. This Pete, he's hysterical. And then the next day at work, he's like, I'm serious. You should have called Cole Sprouse. I really don't want to be here today, Judd. But then after the first day, he got really comfortable and had a blast making it. But he certainly was a little nervous heading into it.
A director's fear, one of their many fears on set is something will change with an actor and there'll be continuity issues. Yes. What was your biggest continuity fear about Pete?
The biggest fear I had was he loves getting tattoos.
Yes.
That's just like the after, like, oh, look how good it looks. I think it's the process of getting it. He talked a lot about enjoying the fact that it hurt and that it focused him and helped him think clearly. And we talked a lot about trying to understand that. And so he kept asking if he could get a tattoo in a weird place that wouldn't be in the movie. And I'm like, I don't know when I need you naked. I might need you naked one day. You can't have a new tattoo. And then I was worried he would go like full Post Malone at some point. Because that would happen when we were doing Girls in between seasons. They would get tattoos and they wouldn't ask anybody. They would just show up and go, do you love these tattoos I got all over my hands? And I'm like, I guess your character just got tattoos on her hands.
You do, don't take this the wrong way. You look like you have just a random stack of things in your room right now. Is this, are we entering a hoarding stage of Judd Apatow's life right now?
I don't call it hoarding. I call it having magnificent things.
Oh, gosh, for sure. Things you can't throw away.
I call it having a history that you want to preserve. But what I've loved about just being stuck in the house and not being able to leave for 3 months, and there's so many great things about being stuck in your house, not being able to leave, is I could go through it all and find some great stuff. Like, I found this is my first headshot.
Wow.
My first headshot, yeah. I wanted to do commercials when I was a kid, like for McDonald's or Burger King or something. And then I got chicken pox like 2 weeks after this, and I did not look pretty. And so I gave up the career. Do you know that I was in Batman? Like, I had a little part in Batman? That's from that. That's from when I was in the...
So you were one of the bad kids? One of the bad kid scene that was cut,
it,
I think.
It was all cut out. It was 1,000 little bat kids to help solve the crime. But do you know that my grandma was friends with Toadie Fields, the great comedian? You see that?
Wow, look at that. That's
you. If I didn't have a horde...
You can't throw that away? Is that what you're saying? You can't throw that away?
Well, why would you throw it away? Why would you throw away great stuff? No. You know what I found the other day? The censor notes on Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, wow.
From the censor. It says, please take another pass at revising Bill's touching story about the time when he tried to sneak out a fart, but it came out of poop, and I had to flush my undies down the toilet. That's from Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah. And do you think if you had taken that pass, they would have given you a second season? Do you think if you tried a little harder?
If I didn't tell them all to F off, how dare you question these amazing ideas about Bill farting and pooping by accident? Do you know I met Howie Mandel as I was a kid?
That's a pretty good look at that, Howie, a full head of hair.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think I've aged well?
I think you've aged.
But, like, is that how you think it would have turned out?
I don't know. I don't know if I would have fully... I think I would have thought that you could eventually get to where you are now, but maybe it would have taken a little bit longer.
Because you know that I'm only 28. Do you think that my health regimen paid off?
I think we should... you want to show us one more before we go? Or was that the coup de grace?
Well... I'm trying to think what you would enjoy the most. Oh, this is my Christmas card 1 year. You got to save all the Christmas cards. That's 1 year's Christmas card.
Great.
That's all red at the bottom, me at the top.
One day we're saving, right? Yeah. One day we'll have to do an episode where it's just the things in Judd's Zoom room.
You know what? I'd enjoy it a lot if you would.
Oh, that's great. That's the cover of Capturing the Freedmans, right? The cover of that DVD.
That's Long Island. That's all I gotta say. That's where I'm from.
Congrats on the movie. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
The Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.